The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Shartok. Joining us this week is Ned Sullivan, president of Scenic Hudson, the Hudson Valley's largest and legendary environmental organization. Today, Scenic Hudson is recognized as a regional and national leader in its field, recipient of the Eleanor Roosevelt Valkill Medal in 2007 and the Land Trust Alliance's National Land Trust Excellence Award in 2011. To date, Scenic Hudson has conserved more than 45,000 acres in 9 counties, including creating 44 public parks and enhancing dozens more that provide places for people to relax, enjoy recreation, and be inspired by the valley's natural beauty and heritage. Ned Sullivan, welcome to the Capital Connection, old friend.
Thank you, Alan, my old friend, and thank you for your incredible leadership and for the great team that you have there at WAMC.
You're too kind, Ned. Now, the governor has a proposed Environmental Bond Act, but we also have a great deal of debt, $16 billion to begin with, and I think it's a lot more than that. So I don't know that people are going to be wanting to borrow. What do you think?
Well, Alan, I think the Environmental Bond Act is not going to be on the ballot in November at all. The governor and the legislature came together. This was the governor's proposal. I think it was visionary, would have created tens of thousands of jobs in protecting our drinking water, upgrading wastewater treatment plants, protecting forests, helping our environmental justice communities, and helping to really stem climate change in New York, where we've Governor Cuomo has provided great leadership on multiple fronts. But as you've just said, New York State is facing tremendous, unprecedented debt and deficits. And the federal government has completely failed to provide relief to the states and localities that have been on the front line of responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. So with that backdrop, I think while it's a sad day, I believe that the Board of Elections will not vote today to put it on the ballot in November. So it's regrettable, but an understandable decision that the state has made, and we'll be looking for the governor and the legislature's continued leadership in keeping the Environmental Protection Fund strong and the Clean Water Infrastructure Act strong. Both of these are critical that have been approved by the legislature, $300 million for the Environmental Protection Fund, and ongoing commitments for the Clean Water Infrastructure Act that ensure we have clean drinking water, really, really vital to all New Yorkers, that we can revitalize waterfront parks and bring people down to the Hudson River or their waterfronts throughout the state, that our environmental infrastructure for wastewater treatment is financed so that our waterways are clean and we can develop our downtown. So the Environmental Bond Act is not going to happen this year. We hope to revisit it in a future year with the administration, but it's crucial that the state's existing commitment to the environment remains strong.
So how has Cuomo done, Governor Cuomo done, when it comes to a report card on his environmental efforts?
The governor's been a very, very strong leader on the environment, in fact, national caliber. Climate change has been one of his top priorities, and he has approved the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which sets aggressive goals for reducing greenhouse gas emissions and promoting renewable energy with specific timelines for achieving a carbon-free power scenario in the state. This is very important law that is just in early stages of being implemented, but it's probably the most aggressive in the country. In addition, the renewable energy siting law that he and the legislature came to agreement on in the last session will expedite renewable energy siting and approvals, identify underutilized sites for renewables, and study the electric grid to facilitate renewables. So basically, the governor is saying, look, we've got to shift away from fossil fuels, and we've got to move aggressively toward renewables and efficiency. And that is absolutely right. That is crucial. And the governor's provided strong national leadership on this. And we at Sina Cutson will be working with him and his administration to implement these important laws.
Now, the governor has made some news. I hope this is a fair question for you, because obviously the more money that New York get, the better off organizations such as yours or mine do. But he has made it clear that he is opposed to soak the rich schemes. In other words, billionaires' taxes, increasing that amount. Now, there's a big push for that in the New York State Legislature. Now, I know you got to work with the governor, but do you have any sense of where your position is on this?
Outside of the realm of our public policy work, we have a very strong public policy team. A guy named Andy Bicking is terrific, working with our colleagues in the Capitol. And our focus is on these crucial climate laws, making sure the Environmental Protection Fund and Clean Water Infrastructure Act remain well-funded, and making sure that the policy, the environmental policies of the DEC and the Parks Department and the Department of State are protective of the Hudson Valley. So we're working on that on a number of different fronts, working against a fossil fueled power plant that's proposed for the Newburgh waterfront. Governor Cuomo and the DEC have been extremely aggressive, Alan, at stopping new fossil fuel infrastructure, which once again is crucial to do to shift to renewable energy. And yet, on the Newburgh waterfront, there's a proposal for a major new natural gas fired power plant, 550 megawatts, that would use fracked gas. And we are opposing that. And if people want to learn more about it, they can go to stoptheplant.org. And it makes no sense, particularly under the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act that's in law now and that phases out the use of fossil fuels. It makes no sense to bring on a brand new fossil fuel plant that would dramatically increase both greenhouse gases and the kind of toxic emissions that send people to the emergency room and on hot summer days when we have ground-level ozone alerts and that are causing the kind of respiratory illnesses that are making people vulnerable to COVID-19.
Well, just
we're also working, Alan, to advance renewables, and there are four major utility-scale solar project proposed in the Hudson Valley. And frankly, many people are coming out and opposing them. Sina Cutson is working to try to strike the balance between the developers who want to site these projects and protecting the views and the natural resources and the habitat in the communities where they're proposed. Live and work.
And Ned Sullivan, when we say Hudson River, the first thing that comes to too many people's minds are, you know, the initials PCB.
That's right.
PCBs. And, you know, there was a remediation effort. When GE was done with their remediation effort, people were saying it wasn't enough. Bring us up to date.
Well, Alan, as you know, this has been an important cause for Sina Cutson, for Riverkeeper, Clearwater, and our other allies. And for New York State, Governor Cuomo has stated publicly that if GE and EPA don't clean up the Hudson, that New York State will do it under his leadership. But unfortunately, both GE and the federal EPA have been in cahoots on this one to basically turn their backs on the science. The science is clear that the major cleanup conducted by General Electric under the federal EPA's oversight failed. It has failed. It has not achieved any of the goals that it established to reduce the levels of this toxic contaminant in the fish from the upper Hudson all the way down to New York Harbor. And EPA blocked efforts to expand the cleanup and to ensure that we would really see the kind of reductions in fish that would enable us to consume them safely in our lifetimes or our children or grandchildren's lifetime. We're looking, Alan, at 50 years past, more than 50 years, that the river has been compromised by GE's contaminants. And now we're looking ahead to another 50 years when the PCBs will continue to taint our fish and other aquatic life. And so the next hope we have, because EPA failed, because two regional administrators failed to take the appropriate action and force GE to the table and get them to expand the cleanup in the upper Hudson, and have failed to even do a remedial investigation of the lower Hudson, where the fish continue to be unsafe to eat. We now have to look to the next phase under federal law. It's called the natural resource damage phase. And basically, this will document all the impacts on the natural resources of the river over the past 50 and the future 50 years, and hold GE accountable and require GE to pay what we think will be billions of dollars, what we think should be billions of dollars, to restore the river and to protect the natural resources and restore them for future generations.
Our friend Pete Seeger, for the few who don't know when we say Pete who we're talking about, said years ago, people are swimming in the Hudson again. Not so fast?
Well, it's another sad fact about the Hudson, Alan, that our wastewater treatment plants don't have the capacity to handle the our wastewater during storm events. So I do swim in the Hudson. I'm a kayaker, and every year I go out there and practice my emergency rescue. I roll over and get out of the boat and swim around. I have a paddle board now, and but on a nice sunny day where there hasn't been a storm, no problem. But if there's a storm, most of our wastewater treatment plants are pouring raw sewage into the Hudson, and it's a disgrace. And so Pete had the vision. Pete brought people's attention to this problem, and Clearwater continues to bring young people out on the Clearwater, and we continue to give education to our young people. But we need more. We need more funding. The Clean Water Infrastructure Act provides funding for this over multiple years, but it's just not happening fast enough. Communities don't have the funds to do this, and we need a cooperation between the federal, state, and local governments to make it happen. And people should let their elected officials know that having raw sewage in the Hudson and in rivers and water bodies all over the state is just not acceptable in the year 2020.
Well, let me ask you this. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. This is not that kind of political program. Nevertheless, there has been, under his administration, a massive rollback in environmental protection by the Trump people. How does this affect us in New York?
Well, Alan, the environmental movement was launched in New York State, in the Hudson Valley. My organization, Scenic Hudson, stood up to a proposal by Con Edison to build a power plant on the flanks of Storm King Mountain. And in the second year of that battle, in the second year of that 17-year campaign, there was an important ruling called the Sinek-Hudson decision, where citizens were allowed, our founders were allowed to be in court and bring the expert witnesses, bring science to bear, advocate for the beauty of the Hudson and the historic resources here. And that became the cornerstone, that Sinek-Hudson decision, of the National Environmental Policy Act, which just passed its 50th anniversary. And yet, in the 50th anniversary of that National Environmental Policy Act, this country's seminal environmental law that created the Environmental Protection Agency, that required environmental reviews of federally funded and permitted projects, we are seeing an unprecedented evisceration of that law and the rollback of over 100 laws and rules by the federal government. They are diluting, weakened the automobile mileage standards. They're attacking the California clean vehicle rules, which have been adopted by many states across the country. They've withdrawn from the Paris Climate Accord. It's truly a wholesale assault on environmental protections that have made enabled this country and New York State to make so much progress over generations. So this makes our New York State protections and leadership more important than ever. People should contact their state and federal legislators and representatives to let them know that clean water is important to them. Clean air is crucial to our well-being and health now more than ever, and that we need to be courageous in facing climate change and find ways to create jobs and as we create clean energy. And so this is a time when people need to do everything in their power, and our state leaders must do everything in their power as well to protect the environment and to protect beautiful healthy areas like the Hudson Valley now and for future generations.
So, Ned Sullivan, I take it you talk to legislators, you talk to their leaders. Are you happy with what you're hearing or seeing?
Well, at the federal level, absolutely not.
I was talking about the state level.
Well, we've seen the governor and the legislature come together on crucial fronts and pass laws that advance our goals. As I've said, we need more funding for clean water. We need continued investment in the Environmental Protection Fund and Clean Water Infrastructure Act. So I think the kind of collaboration that has brought those together is very good. We have a strong legislator in the Hudson Valley, Dee Dee Barrett, a state legislator who has also been a champion and worked with the governor on making agriculture a solution, a natural solution to climate change, rather than a source of greenhouse gas emissions that are causing climate change. Agriculture turns out to be a significant source of greenhouse gases released into the environment, but there are new practices that are being championed, experimented with, and championed here in the Hudson Valley. There's a group called Hudson Carbon based at some of the Rockefeller farms. We are working with them to demonstrate that you can change your farming practices to actually take carbon out of the atmosphere and store it, sequester it is the word that we use, sequester it in the soil. And that's the kind of cutting-edge work that has to move forward. And there are the governor and legislature have worked together to create a pilot program in the Hudson Valley, a carbon farming pilot program that will demonstrate these practices, and then we'll work together to share those with other farmers who are just trying to make a living, but where we can work to provide incentives to them to implement these practices so that they will be able to make a living and protect the environment. These are the kinds of collaborative efforts that I applaud and that our governor and our legislature are working to advance.
So you have a food shed conservation program. What's that?
Well, for many years, Scenic Hudson has been protecting working farms. We've protected dozens of working farms, thousands of acres. But what we do is we buy the development rights. The farmer continues to own the land, but we negotiate to secure the land forever as farmland. And we look at this on a region-wide basis. So all the counties surrounding the Hudson Valley down to New York City. And we've come up with a plan to protect a critical mass of those working farms so that people can get local, fresh, healthy produce so that they can go to their farm stands all summer and have fresh fruits and apples in the fall and cider and pumpkins. And so we've worked with other land trust partners. We've worked with New York State, Department of Agriculture and Markets, we've tried to bring together multiple funders to help us do this. At one time, we tried to get New York City to buy into the idea that just as they spend money to protect their watershed in the Catskills and in the region, they should invest to protect their food shed. We haven't been successful at that, but we are continuing to work to protect the working farms, who are great partners, great stewards of the land, and committed to sustaining this very important part of the landscape and part of the economy of our region.
Go ahead. Why don't you give us a little bit more detail?
Okay. So regenerative farming means that you're implementing practices that will keep the carbon in the soil. People always think of a farm field, you know, you plow it, and then it remains fallow for a year. Well, one of the most important parts of regenerative farming is that you never leave a field fallow. You plant cover crop. You plant something, and you rotate your crops, but you've always got something covering the soil so that the carbon and nutrients remain in the soil. That also reduces erosion that contaminates our water supplies. You look at the whole farm comprehensively, and you manage it as a integrated ecosystem. These are some of the things that, and then you reduce tillage as much as possible. Some tillage is always pretty much necessary, but by reducing the amount of tilling you do, you keep the carbon in the soil, and you make it vital, healthy, more productive, but more economical, but you're not allowing those greenhouse gases to escape into the atmosphere.
So very quickly, Ned Sullivan, there are farmers who are not on board. We know that. Some of whom think it's their right to throw goop into the river or into the streams. How do you deal with them?
Well, through education, through collaboration with the Soil and Water Conservation District, through collaboration, when we put an easement on a farm, we make sure that the areas where there are streams running through the farm are protected and fenced off so that the animals are not wading into the water and causing that kind of environmental impact. And we're increasingly collaborating with both farmers and in the Hudson Valley here, we have some truly leading experimental farms like the Rockefellers and a place called Glenwood and the farm hub in Ulster County. And they are pioneering these practices to ensure that farming is environmentally sustainable. But we want to be sure that information is shared with all the working farmers who have been multi-generational or who may be young. There are a lot of young farmers now coming into this, and they understand the importance of protecting the environment that will sustain them and their children. And so working with the young farmers is particularly important. And if people want to learn more about our work in this area or any of the other areas that we've discussed, Alan, they can go to Scenic Hudson's website. It's scenichudson.org, scenichudson.org, and there's also a lot of information there about not only our parks and preserves that can bring them down to the Hudson and give them great places to escape from home during the pandemic and enjoy the beauty of nature safely, but also lots of information about other outdoor assets, recreational places to go, public parks, state parks, local parks, things to do in the Hudson Valley, and webinars that are becoming increasingly popular and important for people to hear about, learn about what's going on in the valley during the pandemic and hopefully afterward.
ScenicHudson.org. Ned Sullivan, always a great pleasure to have you with us. You're a great hero for so many people. You've done magnificent work, and we are all so appreciative for what it does, because, you know, we're in a time when some of the most important things that we do, conservation-wise and otherwise, are given short shrift. So thanks again, Ned Sullivan, president of Scenic Hudson.
Thank you, Alan. Thanks for your great work and for your terrific team.
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.